We're back with another intriguing episode of Melanated Moments in Classical Music. I'm your co-host, Angela Brown.
And I'm Joshua Thompson. Now, Angela, I understand that today we are highlighting an organization that really wants to help carry the torch that lights the way to all things classically Black in the industry. Am I right or am I right?
You are right, Joshua. Today we have with us Adam Eccleston, chairman of the new recording initiative that All Classical Portland is spearheading to change America's playlist when it comes to Black classical music. And he is here today to tell us all about the exciting new recording project to hit the airwaves in October of 2022.
I am so excited to hear all about the mission of how All Classical Portland will help our listening audience and others be able to experience more Black classical musicians. But before we speak with Mr. Eccleston, could you tell us a little bit more about him?
Of course I can. You know, Adam Eccleston is an accomplished flautist of international renown, dedicated to promoting diversity and equity in classical music. Adam draws musical inspiration from his Caribbean and Bahamian heritage. He works extensively with MESDA Group, a nonprofit organization active in underdeveloped countries around Central and South America and the Caribbean islands. Adam serves as the director of orchestras at Bravo. Adam is also a host at All Classical Portland. Adam was All Classical Portland's 2020 and 2021 Artist in Residence. Everybody, please welcome Adam Eccleston to the Melanated Moments in Classical Music family.
Oh, it is a complete pleasure and an honor for me to get a chance to talk to Joshua and get a chance to kind of kiki with my auntie.
Yes, baby.
She auntie to everybody. So Adam, let's just jump right on in. Could you tell us and our listening audience about All Classical Portland's Recording Inclusivity Initiative, how it came to be, what it's all about, and what your role is with the initiative itself?
Absolutely. So it started with a phone call from Suzanne telling me that she would like me to be the artist in residence for All Classical Portland.
Now, who is Suzanne, baby?
Suzanne Nance is the CEO and president of All Classical Portland.
Okay.
And so when we talked on the phone, I told her things that I would like to do in the future, music-wise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of them being, I want to promote more music by Black and Brown composers.
Right.
You know, myself being of Caribbean descent, my family left New York when I was about 9 years old and we moved to Germany.
Oh.
So I was embraced with all this incredible classical music, but no one was Black.
Okay.
No one really looked like me. So the main thing is that I told her that I really wanted to play more music by Black and Brown composers. And she told me that, well, that's exactly one of the missions that I want to do. So that's kind of how RII started.
Can you tell us then how you've had the brainchild? How are you going to fund it? How does it get its money to do what it's going to do?
To do what it's going to do. And it is not cheap. One of the main things is having people hear what it is that we want to do. And because it was something that was new, that hasn't been done, it was a little bit easier to get it funded. So we went, of course, the route of corporate route, and we also went the route of individual donors. So it did take us a while to kind of get the funds going. But once we got a good amount of money for the project, we went ahead and started finding what type of performers we wanted, and studio time, and piano, and all those different type of things.
Okay, so exactly when did this start? When I know there was the brainchild, but when did you actually start getting the funding and all that? When did that actually start to roll in?
So that was pretty early on, and that was right around the pandemic. So I think I would say around 2020, around then, just kind of having the idea. And just that alone, people were already wanting to give money because it was new, something that hasn't been done before.
And and you've really, like, you were striking while the iron was hot, right? I mean, we have
exactly
the year that's 2020 pandemic. So, like, careers for performing artists are, like, shut down. We have an immense amount of social and racial unrest and this call to promote Black and Brown. And so I think that's really smart. So you start with the funding and then you get, there's all this music, right? The repertoire of Black and Brown composers is huge. So for the music that you're going to record, how did you even begin to figure out what are we going to keep? What are we not? How do you include all the music to be recorded for this project?
That was, I think, one of the longest processes. And we had to, I mean, we had librarians and historians involved in this process, people from different parts of the world involved in this process, some Oxford University, I mean, from all over, and trying to find music that hasn't been recorded. And the thing is that what was the hardest part is it was hard to just get access to that music, and there just wasn't actually a huge list of pieces that hasn't been recorded by Black and Brown composers. So it might sound that there was a plethora, but honestly, there wasn't. There wasn't a plethora. And just trying to pick from the pool that we had, which was an incredible pool, it just wasn't as much as we thought. So we're thinking that, oh, it's going to be, we're going to have to choose from 80 plus pieces and 80 plus composers. And that wasn't the case. So we actually had to go to different historians and librarians and different folks who are in that scene to try to find composers that whose music hasn't been recorded. That was actually the hardest part, was actually trying to find. It wasn't a lot of information out there. So within the pool that we had, it was really astounding. And one of the parts that I played a big role in is bringing in Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. I came across this piece about a year prior to to the initiative, and I was going to put it on a program that I was doing here, but I didn't have enough time. And during the time I was learning the music, I said there wasn't any recordings. There was nothing. I couldn't find anything. So I said, well, what about this piece? So then we did all these research and tried to find to see if it has been recorded, and it hasn't been recorded. So it was amazing to be able to be part of that history, to record this flute sonata by Coleridge Taylor Perkinson that has never been recorded.
Well, let's give it a listen right now. This is a great point to listen to one of the pieces that will be included on the recording. Am I correct?
Yes.
It just so happens to be you, Adam. And our featured artist on this recording, it's Movement One from the Sonata for Flute and Piano by Coleridge Taylor Perkinson.
Thank you.
Yes, baby.
So,
I love that.
Give me a moment. This is absolutely stunning. So I have to say, Adam, I started following you maybe about a year and a half ago, and I love it because, like, morning, noon, or night, I can always get a nice little flute etude on Instagram on your videos because they're fabulous. The voicings are just absolutely stunning. You give us the highs, the lows, the richness in between. Here's my question, because as a pianist, that piano part is no punk. Who is accompanying you on that? Because what a wonderful music relationship.
Monica Ohuchi. And she learned that music
incredibly
quickly. And
you're doing it, girl.
The magic. And that first rehearsal, I was like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's nothing like finding someone that you just gel with and you just sink in and it just magic happens. But I want to know, now, honestly, I had never heard of Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. And I know he recently, within the last few years, passed away. Right. How did you find his music?
So that's a great question. I wanted to do a recital that was of just sonatas, of only flute sonatas by Black composers. And this one came about. So I didn't really know his music before. And this was actually written for Harold Jones, the wonderful, legendary flutist Harold Jones. They were both really good friends in New York and worked together at the conservatories in New York. So there were actually quite a few pieces that Harold Jones played that were written for him by Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. So they've had a really strong bond. Now, I came across Harold Jones many years ago at a competition in New York, and he was one of the judges. And afterwards, he came up to me and told me how remarkable it was for him to hear me play and that he had high hopes of my future in this field. And I told him about how scared I was about being a Black man in classical music, that, you know, that wouldn't be taken seriously and all that type of thing. And he told
me, big, beautiful Black man on top of that.
Thank you.
Okay.
And he said that, you know,
playing the flute.
Right. Mm-hmm. Playing the flute of anything. He did say that, that, the way I played in the competition, he said that I have no doubt in my mind that you will succeed in this field and you will continue to carry on the torch. So when I came across, that was years ago, when I came across this piece and saw it was written for him, I said, this is an alignment. I was meant to play this piece and record and be the first person to record this sonata.
Wonderful. Can you tell me how a radio station uses the database that All Classical is building for underperformed works to help diversify their playlists?
Yeah, so with that bit, I think that is the gem of this entire initiative. Because that database, we can just share that folder, all that information, we can just share that with stations that want to do this, but they just don't know how to start and where to start.
Right.
So this information, this packet is basically saying, you start here. Mm-hmm. Here's the timeline. Mm-hmm. Here is the amount of money that it could cost at point A, at point B, at point C, and by point D, it should rack up upon this amount of money, and you should have this done by this point. So it's basically mapping out the entire thing so that there's really no excuse to why you can't do
it. Don't start, won't be none.
Exactly.
If you're not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem, okay? And you guys are certainly helping the problem by offering a solution. And you are doing the heavy lifting and sharing the wealth of your labor to boot.
That's exactly it. Because, you know, Adam, there are so many organizations and even radio stations that are like, how do we? And y'all just laid out the entire blueprint for everybody. It's like color by number, music by number.
Right.
And I love it. So,
yeah,
there's so many other pieces that we could and will get to. So let's listen to another piece on the soon-to-be-released recording from All Classical Portland's Recording Inclusivity Initiative. Now, this is from composer Jasmine Barnes, and it's entitled Taking Names, sung by none other than Karen Slack.
Brianna, Tatiana, April, Natasha, Renee, Erica, Alicia, Ariel, Erica, Angela, Shanda.
You'll see.
Now, you know, I remember seeing on Facebook, yep, Karen saying something about, child, I got so much music to learn. Now I know what she was going through, because that sounded like something from The Exorcist. And I'm like, you better go. And then I'm just laughing. Brianna, you better. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that's what's so, and I really encourage, because I'm going to, our listeners, put this on repeat. Mm-hmm. This is a whole word in a mix of words. We've taken the civil rights and the social justice movement of Say Their Names and put the names in them to music, and it is as gorgeous as it is chaotic, as fluid as all get out. This is absolutely necessary music and literature. So thank you for putting it on this recording. This is fantastic.
Now, when I tell you, when they said, you think that Black Girl Magic was a disappearing act, when I heard her sing that the first time, I fell out.
Okay.
Yes.
Black Girl There's Magic a death. Ain't a disappearing
Magnificent.
Act. There is, I mean, and again, yet another reason, like, listen to this multiple times and really listen deeply, because this is the whole crux of the project. Like, we're people. We live in a skin. Yeah. We deserve the respect. And so.
Jasmine Barnes is the bad girl.
Yeah, she is. I do have a question, because here's a project that I really love that is so much bigger than yourself. It's bigger than the Portland area. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I'm interested. How many stations are currently using this or are starting to tap into All Classical Portland's recording inclusivity initiative?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but what I can say is a lot of the stations on the East Coast are eating this up. Mm. A lot of the stations in the Midwest are eating it up. Yeah. A lot of the stations on the West Coast is eating it up. And I think, you know, there is no excuse now. Mm-hmm. There is no excuse. Mm-hmm. We are giving it to you. So all you have to do is just do it. And it just takes time and money. Mm-hmm. But time.
Yeah.
And the money part, people want to give to things like this. People want to give to initiatives like this because they know that it is bigger than us. It is bigger than now. Mm. And people want to see this message live on forever. Mm.
And that's the return on your investment, right? Like, you're giving to something that you continue to reap the benefits from for years and years and years to come.
Generations and generations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's right.
So before we let you go and we listen to our last piece, is there anything else that you would like to tell us about the recording initiative, inclusivity initiative that All Classical Portland is doing?
I think one thing I want to say is the amount of love that went into this recording is it's so clear in every single track. Mm-hmm. The depth, the brilliance, the commitment. And on top of that, it's all culminated in the art by Monica Urbaga, who is phenomenal. She's based in LA, but she is from Kenya. Excuse me, from Kenya. Mm-hmm. So to have everything come together in this way that just... it just makes me feel so good. Yeah. For me, when I listen to every single track, I think of butter. I just think of butter, the richness. Mm-hmm. And all I'm missing is just my biscuit. Hey. So once this comes out on October 28th, y'all better make sure and get your biscuit because there's butter all over this album.
Fantastic. It sounds like it is a village investment, and I love that. So let's listen to one more piece off of the soon-to-be-released recording from All Classical Portland's Recording Inclusivity Initiative. This is Spark and a Glimmer by Lauren McCall for violin, cello, and piano. Thank you.
A glimmer. You better go, Miss McCall. Baby, yeah. I am so ready to have my biscuit buttered by this recording. I enjoyed that.
It's so fun. You know, Adam, what I absolutely love about the pieces that you selected for us today is just how much richness and diversity within our own diaspora the music is,
yes,
right? And these have not been recorded before, and they should be just stunning. I almost couldn't tell where the spark and the glimmer differentiated, and by the end of it, I didn't care. It was all glimmery and sparkly. And
yeah, it was clear, yeah.
Yeah. Just absolutely fantastic. This is a great one. This is a great one.
Yes, I enjoyed it so much. And after all, this is what melanated moments in classical music is all about. And I'm happy to witness this collaborative meeting of the minds to get more melanated music out to the masses.
Yes, yes, yes. And so we just say thank you so much, Adam, and thank you all Classical Portland's Recording Inclusivity Initiative. And on that note, I'm Joshua Thompson.
And I'm Angela Brown.
And this has been Melanated Moments in Classical Music.
Our product partner is Oralex Acoustics, an Indianapolis-based company dedicated to developing acoustical products that offer a high-quality listening experience. We thank them for the support of our podcast.